This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
The Punisher, a firearm-wielding vigilante, was pulled from New York Comic-Con by Marvel and Netflix, something Steve Harsh, who's been attending for years, understands.
I do kind of agree with that, out of respect for the victims and for the situation.
But another attendee, Leo Lawrence, says the Punisher didn't cause the Vegas shooting.
That's only punishing the fans, and it's only letting the idiot that did it win.
Punisher or not, security here is tight, with the NYPD's heavily armed anti-terrorism unit standing guard. At the Jacob Javits Convention Center in Manhattan, I'm Julie Walker.
Hey, what's up, guys? You're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today, we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by comedian and actor Dominic Purdy. Dominic, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing good. Can't complain at all. Getting ready for Christmas the last couple of days before the big day.
Mm-hmm.
How about yourself?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm chilling. I'm probably getting me one of those little miniature trees or something.
Right on. What do you like most about the holiday season? Or do you find yourself to be, I guess, a holiday person?
I like the vibe of the holiday season. I like people are more cool, I guess. And presents, I guess. I like giving people presents, but I don't really care about getting it, you know?
I understand. Is there, I guess, do you have a favorite holiday dish? Are you a foodie? Would you say that you're a food person? Do you like to kind of eat and be merry around the holidays?
I guess I like food, but I'm not really like, I don't eat meat, so.
Oh, wow.
There's certain stuff I just don't eat, which actually helps because then I get to turn down people who have terrible food, you know, like, sorry, man, I don't even eat meat, man. Sorry about that. In my head, I'm like, I wouldn't eat that if I did eat meat, you know.
Yeah, right.
But, I still eat a lot of kinds of food. Actually, I feel like I actually eat more different types of food than I did when I did eat meat, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I guess with not eating meat, it's almost like you have to, I guess, become more creative with the types of food that you eat. And
definitely.
But it makes you explore, you know, more of what's out there, which is good too, you know.
Right. You really, a lot of people ask sometimes, they're like, what do you eat, man, if you don't eat that? Which is like in my head. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow, people really don't know about food because they're like confused. Like that's their main portion of food. You know what I mean?
Right. That's right. Yeah, but there's a whole world of great culinary eats out there for vegetarians and vegans, and
what's crazy is there's like the foods that people eat, like it's just really how it's prepared, the seasonings, all that. Like I still eat certain things. Like as a matter of fact, I just had a Impossible Burger last night. You know that is.
I do not know.
Well, they have some at Fat Burger and some at Umami Burger, but it's a. The burger, or the patty, is really the thing. It's a plant-based patty, and tastes like fucking beef. It has like the kind of like flavor, you know, because whatever they've got some kind of like thing ingredient that the thing that you think's in beef that makes it have that burnt kind of like beef taste.
Mm-hmm.
Is really some kind of like complex or ingredient that makes it taste that way. It's not really the beef. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's So that's in the plant-based thing. They know what the ingredient is, and it's pretty good.
Man, that is awesome. I'll have to try that. Like, we're based here in Memphis, and so there's not a whole lot of vegetarian and, like, vegan restaurants here or places that even
that
offer.
That stuff, too, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I, you know, the thing is like, I eat meat, but I, there was a time for a period of, like, 3 months where I didn't eat meat, and I adopted a vegan diet, and I actually want to get back to it and just be that way completely, because I felt much, much better, had more energy. I felt creative. I mean, the foods that we eat, believe it or not, it does affect our brain chemistry and just, you know, the way that we are. And so I definitely want to do better about, you know, eating better. And so
Right.
Yeah, I definitely commend you on what you do, because a lot of people, they just, you know, they just feel like, hey, if I eat McDonald's 2 times a week, I'm going to be okay, but that's just not the case.
Right. You know, like, everybody's different. Some people have tiger blood, you know, and they could eat whatever the hell they want. You know, people eat mm-hmm. rack of lamb, like, every single day, and they're just like, you know, they live to, you know, be a, you know, 105 years old and totally functioning and all that, you know. So, you know, it's all about eating really, like, kind of like what goes with your body. That's kind of like what I do. Like, I'm not vegan, but, you know, I don't really eat cheese like that and dairy, but if something has egg and cheese in it, like, you know, I'm eating somebody's cake or something like that, I'm not insane. You know, some people are, like, insane. Like, oh, my God, I don't even want to. If that even touched the same pot that has something of an ingredient I don't eat, I'll fucking kill you, you know. Like,
yeah, they go ham. They go, you're like,
okay. Right. Right. It's like, yo, chill. Like,
man.
Yeah, I tell my girl, I was like, we're just vegan. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, we do what's good for us. I'm me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just eat what I like, you know?
Absolutely. Man, I love it. Do you happen to do any type of cooking? Do you cook or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like cooking more, because sometimes it's like, oh, I can just make this shit, you know, like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm just, mm-hmm. I can make, and then I can eat, like, half shit for tomorrow, and, you know, I definitely like cooking, you know. It also makes you explore what's out there. Makes you use your brain with cooking. You know what I mean? You don't really think.
That's right.
My, you know, eating sometimes is so mindless. It's like, oh, I'm hungry, and then you just go eat whatever. But when you, like, have to eat because you need a certain amount of nutrients and certain kind of vitamins, you start being creative about what you eat. Okay, maybe I need this to activate the protein. I need, you know, to have this to get this vitamin. I got to make sure I have enough this and that. So then you're, you know, being more creative with the things you choose to buy when you're grocery shopping and, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And then, too, I think cooking is kind of like an art form within itself because, you know, like with our generation, it's like, you know, we're just such an instant culture. You know, we always want to do this thing where we just go run and basically, you know, go out and get food and stuff. But, I mean, there's more to it. I mean, there's just like we have to like basically get to the point to where we are doing better about, you know, cooking and taking care of ourselves and everything. You know, I definitely
like being creative with it's a creative thing. Like, well, for example, I make beats and I'm like into records and, you know, so like it's like the same thing from that. Like, I'm a producer, I do beats, and like it's like sampling and doing kind of stuff like that. So it's kind of like the same thing when I'm cooking, like cutting up stuff and being like, oh, I'm going to put this in there and put that in there. And it's like, you know, every meal is kind of like a dope beat or something. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was actually meaning to talk to you about your music because I know that you have a rap name. You do beats and everything. You're also known as Koreatown Oddity. Tell me a little about just what it's like for you, because I know that you're kind of a jack of all trades. What got you into the rap game?
Really, if I would say, I mean, hip hop was probably introduced to me by my mom. So I was just kind of like grew up around different, you know, hip hop figures like Grandmaster Caz, Ice-T, and my mom was totally into it and selling jewelry to rappers and making jewelry and, you know, just part of the culture. And so it was just around me. So that's automatically like just my culture. Like everything I do is like hip hop. You know what I mean? Like, you know, my language, the way I, you know, think of stuff, even humor and all that stuff is just automatically like that. So, you know, I was always making tapes. Like, I do a lot of my stuff on cassette tape now. And so I was doing tapes with friends and, you know, and just eventually just started doing my own stuff and put it out there when I was ready to do it, once I started making my own beats, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. So when you take the stage, what's it like for you? I guess, are you excited every time you take the stage? Are you kind of nervous, reserved? You seem so like you're in your element so much, and it just has always been like to me, I wonder what his psyche is like when he takes the stage.
Well, you know, it's funny, my girl always asks me, like, when I'm out to do a show, like, beforehand, she's like, are you excited? And I'm like, you know, it's kind of like a running joke because she knows I'm not excited. You know, it's not that I'm not. It's more like, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But, like, when people ask me, are you excited? It's like, I'm not excited. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's just like, you know, I don't know how I got like that in life, but I just don't get excited about stuff. I'm more like, oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that, and that's going to be a good time. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, I definitely enjoy it, you know, like, you know what I mean? It's like, I guess, you know, excitement is funny. I don't know. It's just something that I do. It's just a part of me. So when I'm doing something and I'm up there, it's just like, because really I'm like, unless you like know me, like, you know, I'll be probably obviously a little bit more like sillier and crazier if you know me. But like, for the most part, I'm pretty like low key, like I'm chill, you know. So like, if you don't know me and you see me, I'm like, you know, you meet me, I'm pretty cool and chill. And then you see me perform something, you're like, oh, shit. Like, you're like wilding the fuck out, you know?
Yeah, you're like in your element is what I always say.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
That's what's up. So I'm kind of late to the party, and I know this is a terrible question to ask, but your name, tell me about it. Where did your name derive from? Because it's like, the first time I heard about you, I was like, I didn't make the connection that you're also the star of some films and that you're a writer as well. I didn't make the connection that, oh, that's the dude that's on Stone's Throw. So tell me about your name.
Yes, Koreatown Oddity is what I like to say is it's a fact and it's the truth, because that's where I'm from. Koreatown in Los Angeles. I was born and raised there. And so then that's where the name comes from. You know, people think it's like because I live there, you know, that's the name. But really, it's more of a saying like, I'm from there. So, like, no matter where I go, that's what I'll always get to Koreatown because that's where I came up. That's where I had a lot of my experiences, and L.A. is everything that I know is here, and, you know, all my experiences here. So that name kind of came, like, you know, I was doing a rap, and I was like, you know, people call me the Koreatown. No, people know I'm the Koreatown Odyssey, distributing creativity, quite honestly. I want to see my name on the Will Turn Theater marquee with the neon glow from across the street. And then I was like, oh, but, you know, I had other rap names, like, in high school, rap names like Freelance, and, you know, all these other different kind of names. But when I did that, I was like, oh, man, that's it right there. That's the name. You know, like, it just kind of came naturally. And it describes exactly what I am as a person. Like, that's me all day. Like, you know, when people would, in high school, come on my crib, I was always the dude that's, like, you know, using two VCRs to edit movies and, like, you know, I'm making weird stuff at the crib. People would always come to my crib to see weird movies and stuff I was making. I was always the dude, like, we used to do a lot of prank calling back in the day before caller ID. And, you know, I had a little karaoke machine that I would record, and people would call me, and I would put the mic on the ear part of the phone, and then people would call people on three-way, and I would record tapes. So I was always that dude, like, doing, like, yo, Dominique doing this, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I love it. Tell me, because I'm not familiar with Koreatown, but I imagine that it's there are a lot of Koreans there, people of Asian descent. Would you say that that's helped to shape your music and your style of artistry?
I mean, I would say probably the city itself, L.A. itself. And, you know, I guess, you know, without knowing, probably definitely Koreatown. Because the thing is, I grew up from the 80s to now, you know, so it's way different now than it was, like, you know, I was born in 84, so, I was like, oh, okay, right on. Well, when's your birthday?
August 28th,
1984. Okay, yeah, I'm a 22nd of July.
Oh, wow, okay, summer baby.
yeah, and so, like, and I've been, like, really aware since I was little. So, like, you know, maybe, like, 2-3 years old, like, my mom, I'll be out doing stuff with my mom that, I remember. Like, you know, maybe not, like, a full-on memory, but some stuff, like a flash or something. I'll tell my mom, and she, like, how do you know about that? You remember that? Or, like, you know, like, some kind of, like, you know, my mom will always kind of, like, have me in the mix like that, like, like my pops was never in the same household, you know, they was never married or anything like that. So I got to experience my parents as separate people, you know.
Gotcha.
And so I think that also had an effect on me and they're different people, but the same kind of, like, morally, like, my dad's a, you know, street hustler cat, grew up like that in the streets, so he's very streetwise, and my mom is like an entrepreneur, you know, she always, like, did her own kind of thing, and she was, like, always super cool and fly and shit, and my pops was fly and shit, you know, he's, a little bit older, he was always listening to, you know, like jazz and soul, and my mom was always listening to hip hop and R&B and everything else, you know. So those, they definitely had an effect on me, just the things they would tell me about life and how to live it. They both were always pretty honest when I think back about it. My pops, he never had a dad. He never knew whatever his dad looked like or ever met him. And so he always talked to me like an adult, like even when I was a little kid. Like, it was never like any kind of coochie coo voice or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, it was always like, you know what I'm saying, what you want to eat? You know what I'm saying? We'll pick what you want to eat then. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So I've always been like a little old man as a kid, you know, like an old soul. And so then I would hang out with older people, like when I was young, like older people kind of fucked with me because, you know, I like learning for nothing, you know, cool information. And then when older cats would see that I'm into that, you know, they, okay, cool, I'm going to take this cat and, you know, give him some knowledge. And, you know, so I was always hanging, you know, I hung with people my age too, but I always hung with older cats as well, which kind of like, you know, allowed me to learn things in a different way and have a different perspective. And, you know, I kind of engage different and move different than a lot of people because of that. And, you know, I was pretty open. Like in Koreatown back then, it's like, you know, people see it as all Korean now or whatever, but it was like a lot of Black and Hispanic. Like growing up, it's like I had a couple like Korean homies that I grew up with, but it was mostly Black and Hispanic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then like, you know, Korean people own the businesses, obviously. And then, you know, it's crazy, though. I would see those, you know, symbols in Koreatown, you know, and I would never really be like, oh, you know, that's a different language. I just never really, you know, thought about the concept. Just more like, it just looks cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd go to Korean grocery store and, you know, like, Korean grocery store, what's interesting about that is, like, they never looked at it. I never got looked at in the Korean grocery store. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was never like,
yes.
You know
what I'm saying?
It was like pretty normal. It was like almost like I was in Korea and I was, you know what I'm saying? And I was a tourist. And it's like that vibe of like, it's like, yeah, you're just another fucking human, whatever. You know, they have Hispanic people working at the Korean grocery store. It's like, so I never really, like, they never really made me feel like anything was, like, different, you know? It's like, I knew they were Korean people. I knew Korean stuff was different. I knew, like, okay, this food is different, you know? I say Kai Bai Bo instead of rock, paper, scissors, you know? You know, like,
yeah.
So there's obviously certain things I picked up, you know, like, reading, you know, those little, like, black and white comic books where you read them backwards.
Oh, manga, like, yeah.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's all kind of, like, little stuff, like, that I, you know, got, like, certain kind of, like, little cool snacks I'd be eating when I go to school, and somebody like, where the fuck did you get that from? What is that, you know? And I could, like, trade some, like, cool little candies with people at school, you know?
Yeah.
There's always, like, little stuff like that. But, you know, like, it was kind of like, my mom was, like, saying it was, like, just mid-Wilshire. Like, it wasn't really, like, titled Koreatown to people. Like, you might have known it's like that, but they didn't, I don't think they made, like, a block off of what exactly is the vicinity of Koreatown till, like, you know, maybe a few years ago. But when we was growing up, we already knew. We knew that from a certain street to a certain street is Koreatown, and outside of that is, you know, wherever that is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy, too, because I've been all over the city, so it's like, it's interesting when people come here that's, like, not from L.A., and they, like, they tell me, like, oh, you know, it's so segregated over here, and I just kind of, like, damn, like, I never really noticed that because, like, you know, I'll be in Koreatown is where I'll be living at, but then, you know, I got homies everywhere, so I'll be everywhere. I'll go to eat everywhere and go to different places. I could be in Wilmer Park one day. I could be in Highland Park one day. I could be downtown, in Chinatown. I'll be in fucking Little Ethiopia. You know, I'll be in fucking Long Beach. I'll be every part, so it's kind of like North Hollywood, Studio City, you know, like, so I think I got all that stuff with all the creative stuff I do. It just, kind of kept me all over in the city, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I guess, you know, that kind of leads into my next question, because I know, you know, we're talking a little bit about your newest film, Driving While Black. I guess, have you ever encountered any type of, racism or anything of that sort? Because I live here in Memphis, and, you know, last night history was made. They took down the Confederate statues finally in Memphis, and it was a huge thing, made national news, too. With you growing up in Koreatown, it sounds like there was a great acceptance for you. But I would imagine as a person of color that you still have experienced it some.
I definitely experienced it my whole life.
Yeah.
That movie is based on my experiences.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Driving While Black is not a movie. It's from recollection, you know? So, like, you know, I actually was delivering pizzas, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I never wanted to be a Hollywood tour guide. That part's not real, but I was delivering pizzas, you know? Like, there's an experience in the movie where, you know, some cops, like, just fuck with us when we're, like, 12 years old, like, just for no reason. Like, we're out riding bikes, chilling, you know? Like, it's, like, all kind of stories. It's, like, you know, and it's, when I think about, like, you know, obviously, shit was fucked up, different things. But also, too, I really think I got given a perspective of humor that's so different that I would see things like, okay, that's fucked up, but I could see it from a point of view when I'm talking about it that makes it kind of funny for people to understand, you know,
mm-hmm.
what I was experiencing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember one time being out with my boy, like, we're like, maybe like 16, 17, like out riding bikes, and we're riding up this street, and like, I guess there was like a car behind us, you know, we weren't really paying attention, and they were like, got annoyed that we were kind of like in their way. This is before like LA became so super like bike friendly with lanes and treat bikers nicely and all that type of shit. And then the truck like got around us and then like was driving by and was like, get out the way, you niggers.
Oh my God.
And then like we just started laughing. It's like, you know, like,
yeah,
it's like, it was funny to us, like, you know, it's like, yo, this is so fucking hilarious, like, you know, because it's like, that doesn't really affect us, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, it's like, it's so funny, it's so like, you know, things are so ridiculous that makes me laugh, you know what I'm saying? That, like, people are so, like, crazy and like illogical and like doing just wild shit that it makes me laugh, like, so and that's even like with a movie, that's how that point of view, I don't think anybody else could have done that movie, like, and when I look back at it, I'm like, damn, like, no one else could have done this movie, because one, and you know, there's tons of Black people and people of color that had that those experiences, like, you know, dealing with police and racism and yada yada. But I don't think everybody could have the perspective to turn such a serious topic into humor, you know, because you got to be able to show people, look how ridiculous this shit is. You know what I mean? Like, and so
right.
then they can laugh. They can laugh and be like, yeah, that is ridiculous. And then when they laugh and see how ridiculous it is, that's when they understand, like, damn, this is fucked up. But to you, this is normal, everyday life, and you just deal with it. Like, you know, I've been in all kind of situations where somebody's like, either, you know, acting racist, you know, doing a racist kind of like move or all kind of, but it's like, it just doesn't affect in the same way because I look at them like, you're fucking retarded. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of funny. It's kind of like, are you actually are serious right now? Oh shit. You're fucking retarded. Okay. It's like, actually, I feel bad for you that your mind is like that limited. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Man, yeah, that's what it is. I mean, all racism, you know, is just rooted in stupidity. It's ignorance, it's fear, you know.
Right, right. And that's what I tell people. I tell people, like, yo, people like, take the word ignorant as, like, an insult. Like, it's like, oh, you know, don't call me ignorant. I'm not ignorant, you know. But
right, yeah.
ignorance just basically means a lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all you're saying. Like, we all can be ignorant. Like, oh, okay, I'm ignorant about how to build a fucking birdhouse. I don't know. I don't know anything about birdhouses.
<I don't either. laughs>
You know what I mean? Like, if some guy was building a birdhouse, I was like, man, look at you. Look at your bitch ass building a birdhouse. What kind of shit is that? He's like, oh, man, you ignorant, man. You don't know, man. Hoes love this shit. You know, like, whoa, oh, damn. Okay, well, shit. Enlighten me. So, you know what I mean? It's like people just have, they have a lack of knowledge. And, you know, when, you know, people are like racist and, you know, especially, you know, still in this time, it's like, it's just like laughable, you know, like even like we're going to go on the subject of, you know, the president or something like that. It's like, I don't even really pay attention to any of that stuff. It's like you know what I mean? It's kind of like not even real. It's like this is not even real. Like, it's like, who has time to be pissed off every single day at racist people? Like, I just don't even, you know, I don't have the time. Like, if I talk to somebody, we're talking about it, you know, then we'll have a laugh about the subject. Like, some, you know, people around me tell me something like, yo, did you hear yada yada this such and such? I'm like, what? Hilarious. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how can you not think it's hilarious that the person who's supposed to be the president is going on Twitter, like, talking about celebrities? Like, that's hilarious. You know what I mean? Like, we're like living, yeah, we're living in a Netflix series right now. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
I honestly think that, this is what I think. I think that he's going to be the president for 8 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think at the end of that, they're going to put out a whole Netflix series that they've been filming this whole time while he's been the president. And,
I could,
you know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's entertaining as fuck. That's why he's the president, because he's not boring. He's just like, you know what I'm saying? He's just doing crazy shit. Like, oh, Donald Trump just fucking threw some shit out the window of the White House. You're like, what? You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And that's why I kind of don't keep up, because I'm just like, all right, man, they're going to have the Netflix series in about 8 years, and I'll watch the whole presidency and see what I missed, you know?
Yep. He's just a crazy, crazy guy.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, like, and also, too, you know, you look at it, you're like, hey, man, you know, if Donald Trump is the president, man, we all can live our dreams, you know? It's actually inspirational, you know? Like, I'm like, he's the president? Man, I need to, you know, maybe I can be an astronaut, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just go start training. Go ahead, fuck it.
That's true. That is very, very true. What was it like, I guess, filming this movie for you? Because I know you mentioned that it's basically your life. What was it like, I guess, filming this and just kind of reliving in a certain way, you know, aspects of your life?
Man, it was really cool, actually. Because getting to show other people, even people that were like a part of the production, you know, watching it, they learned stuff that they didn't know. And it was just a trip to me to be like, you know, like when I have a private moment to myself, I would just be like, yo, this is crazy. This happened to me. And like I always like dreamed about like when I was a kid, like, you know, I would like write, you know, I would have like mad notebooks and I would just write like a bunch of stories like that just happened to me and my friends that, you know, that was funny. And not like when I think about it, it's like, damn, I never imagined like, damn, it's actually I would be able to show something that happened to me one day. Like, and I think about like a scene like of a friend like I don't really know no more. And I'm like, man, you know, I hope they see this movie, you know, because they was there when that happened, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's kind of like I got to, well, it kind of tripped people out too. Like, okay, we have the actors are, you know, playing cops. And we had like a guy who was a police technical guy, you know, showing them how they should put out their guns and, you know, more terminology that they should use and trying to get the actors into it. I was like, but how to react to me, he can't really teach them that because this is from my experience, right?
Right.
And
right.
So, like, I was showing them how to frisk me. Like, and then I went, yeah, and I look at the technical advisor, George, and he's like, damn, you pretty on point, yeah. Because I've been through it so many times, even though I didn't do it to anybody, I feel their hands doing it to me, so I know exactly what to do. And I would, you know, tell them, like, don't be afraid to, like, be rough, because we need to show, like, how that is, you know? I've already done it in reality, so you're not going to do it any rougher than that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, if they have to slam me on the hood, slam me on this damn hood, you know? don't be scared. You know, actors getting scared, they cut you cool. Yeah, I'm cool, man. You an actor. A real person did this shit to me.
Right.
You know? Like, so it was like, it, you know, I like to see, like, my mom and dad, when they seen it too, which I even gave my mom, she has a little partner, like a liquor store scene. She just plays like some annoying lady who's taking up the line and shit. When them watching it, really, I get that feeling too, because it's like, I know they're like, yo, this is, damn, he made this. He did this. This is him. I know this is him because I know him. You know what I'm saying? It must be a trip. So, and that's the kind of, like, honestly, like, what people, like, they tell me, like, you know, people ask me, like, yo, what's up, man? You know, you got an agent. You doing all this. I'm like, nah, because I don't really consider myself, like, an actor like that. Like, I have the ability, and I do like doing films and shit like that. But I like to put myself into a character that's like, it's a piece of me. I'm not really, you're never really going to see me play like a rapist or, you know what I'm saying, or some kind of like, you know what I'm saying, you know, like some fucking drag queen or, you know, I'm not going to do that just because it's not, I'm not that type of actor. I'll save that for, you know, fucking Jake Gyllenhaal or some shit like that, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, like, those are the actor type motherfuckers. And like, what's my man's name? my man from Pineapple Express.
Seth Rogen?
No, not Seth Rogen. Franco. Yeah, Franco. Yeah, him. He's one of those actors too. Like, he's like, what's the movie about? It's about a dude who lived in a cave 100 years. I'm about to go live in a cave for a year and starve myself. like, I'm cool, man. I love you. You know, I don't know if you got, did you get a chance to see the movie? They sent you something or?
Yes, I did. And I thought it was really, really great because I know it doesn't come out until next year officially, but I got I was able to get a screener, and I thought it was amazing. I didn't know – I didn't know that it was – that you know, it was, you know, based on your life, you know, loosely. I think that that's really cool that you're able to, you know, basically take what I would consider some things that are like, you know, negative aspects, things that you've encountered, and turn it and to make it, you know, comedic. Because with comedy, you know, comedy reaches people on a whole different level. And it's like, you can be so real with comedy. But at the same time, you can send such a great subtle message as well that can be taken and people can actually change. And so I see like your movie as like is almost like another Get Out, in the sense that, you know, people will watch it, and I really think that it will open their eyes up and at least start conversations about, you know, race relations and how we perceive people, you know, because it's like,
right,
we're all guilty of, you know, I guess some sort of, you know, prejudice. You might say like, oh, that guy looks weird or whatever.
Right, of course. But
there are people that like take it to a whole nother level, like you said, and they're like, well, I don't want to deal with this guy because he's black or whatever.
Right,
so
right.
It's like, you know, this movie really, really just, I like it because it's so poignant. I mean, with the way that the country is going and just like, it's like, it just really has come out at a really, really good time. And I think it's a movie that everyone should at least see once. That's what I'll say.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Because, you know, the thing is, like, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, with humor, like, you can talk about it. Even if it's just like, you know,
that's true.
And then they get it. Like, comedy, like, brings people together, and it really makes me, like, I really got to see it, like, you know, we did, like, different screenings in, you know, different states and shit like that, and we have Q&As, and, you know, there's, like, a fucking, you know, 75-year-old white man who's from fucking North Dakota, like, you know, I really enjoyed the film, and, like, you know, like, and, you know, and I always will keep that person as an example in my head, because when we first showed it to somebody, they would ask me, like, you know, what's the demographic? Like, you know, when we would meet with, like, a distributor or whoever, and I would say, everyone, you know? And they'd be like, yeah, well, we know everyone, but, you know, black people, right? And I'm like, I mean,
no.
Yeah, it's like obviously black people are gonna like relate to it off the top. That goes without saying. I was like, but this movie's not only for black people, because we already know. I'm telling y'all that who don't know, and then black people get to sit back, like, it's just like you said, like Get Out, like, you know, for a Golden Globe, my boy just told me the other day, like, they got nominated in the comedy category.
Yeah,
you know?
I saw that. Yeah, I did see that, and it that really stood out to me too, because I was like, because to me it was like it could go almost as a drama as well. You know?
Right. Now, see the thing is, now I understand that it probably was hard to be like, what should we put this in, right?
Right, right.
But it definitely was not a comedy. If there was a reviewer and they had a preview of that, you know, on TV, and it was like, funniest movie of the year, Get Out. Like, you would be like, what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, so it definitely was funny, you know, but funny because you're like, yeah, that's some real shit. You know,
yeah.
Like, I laughed because I was like, oh, I was more laughing like, oh, shit, they really taking it there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
Yeah, it was almost shock humor, almost. Like.
Right. Like, so if it's like, if you're totally unaware that, black people feel this way, then maybe you're not going to see all that. And maybe maybe that's when you'll first learn of that, and you will look into it. So that's the kind of thing it is with the Drywall Black. It's like, okay, we already know. But when people watch this movie, they're going to say, damn, I didn't know that this is how you feel all the time. Like, you know, I could have took it from, you know, angry black man. You know, I could have been blowing up police cars in the movie and chopping people's heads off and saying, you know, like, riding down the street on a flaming fucking drop top, blowing shit up, you know, like, but it's like, but then it's like, that. It's not really like showing you a human element of why it's like that. It's like, yeah, it's like, some people would say fuck the police because it's some cool shit to say, you know what I'm saying?
Right. But they don't really know, but, you know. It's,
yeah, they don't really know.
Trendy to say that.
Yeah, there's like actually like a, you know, younger black cat I had talked to. He was like early 20s, and he had seen the movie and had told me, like, he's like, I never really experienced any like thing like that, you know, like, but
yeah.
He, you know what I'm saying? And he said he did after the movie, which was interesting. And he was like, he's like, you know, like, he had the fuck the police type attitude, though. You know what I'm saying? Just because
right.
That's what you're supposed to have. Like, you know, oh, shit, here come the cops. And I fuck that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But, you know what I'm saying? But, like, without having experience. But if you're around, like, everybody around you, and that's just, like, especially, like the hip-hop culture. Like, we grow up being, like, fuck the police. If you came from, you know, you were born in the 80s and even late 70s or something, you know, you came up with, like, there was, you know, mad anti-police songs and, you know, artwork and clothing, you know what I mean? And then actual stuff that was happening, like, you know, like, the riots is a big part of my personal life because, you know, my mom was out stealing shit, you know what I mean? Like, we was... You know, and I was with her. I was, you know, I'm 8 years old riding around in the car with her and her friends hopping out, you know, with a Jerry curl going in and fucking getting, you know, VHS movies. And I'm just sitting there watching this kind of like fun. It's crazy. People like running around and like, you know, Korean people with shotguns, you know, protecting their business. You know, it's crazy. It's like, so all those elements involved, like, you know, you grow up with this, like, you know, yeah, I don't like this. Then you have your own experiences, and then you grow to just live life like that. So in the movie, I wanted to show, like, okay, you know, I want to show, like, where does it start? How do you get that state of mind, you know? Like, for people who may not really understand, it's like, okay, you know, we've seen the riots, you know, that was a part of it. Okay, then it's like you have experience when you're young. It's like kind of affects you and, like, makes you feel bad because you're a kid, you don't really understand. But you already know because you was a younger kid, you've seen older black people, adults, how they were reacting to police, and you were listening to music, and you're like, okay, this is what you were talking about. Now I'm experiencing it. So now you feel bad, and now you feel like, this is it. And then you grow a little bit older and you have more experiences. And then you're like, kind of like, ah, man. And so in the movie, you have to show, you know, I want to show, like, you know, I'm a regular motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, not a gangster, not a nerd, just a regular black dude, who's, you know, cool and, you know, is like, you know, is just doing his thing. You know, so from that point of view, also helps people to understand, too. Because most of the time, people are like, he probably did some shit. You know, like, he probably deserves it. You know, like, so when you see it like that, I feel like that's what makes people go, like, after the movie, people would tell me, I was on the edge of my seat because I was, like, thinking, like,
I was just like, had anxiety because when would the cops gonna pop up again? Like, I had anxiety for you because all these police pullovers. Like, this movie has more police pullovers and interactions than I've ever seen in any movie. You know, like, you know.
Yeah. And that is one thing that I noticed as well. Mm-hmm. That's one thing.
Yeah, and so that's what I wanted people to feel that because that's what it's like. Like, it's like always happening, but it's normal. You see, like, in the movie, it's like, yeah, it's like those things are affecting me, but I still just go live my life. And maybe people don't know what's happening to me, you know, but, you know, those things are happening. And then maybe I'm talking about it only with certain people, homies, like, yo, man, like, when we talk about it with each other, it's like, yo, man, last night I was at the thing. Like, they have a scene where I'm in the car with my boy and the bike cop comes up. And right before in that scene, he's going, man, you know how my, you know, my blinkers are broken, right? You know, so the cops got behind me. Man, I just end up driving straight all the way to the beach, you know, because he's like, I don't even want to turn. I'm scared, you know, like.
Right.
So, like, and those experiences, stuff like that is, like, part of every day. If me and my girl are like out driving somewhere and we're having a conversation, if the cops get behind us, she's not listening to what the fuck I'm saying. I don't even know if I'm talking about the same subject. I can't even think what I was talking about. And then until the cops, you know what I mean? It's just like some natural shit. Like, and he might not even be thinking about us, but we thinking about them, you know?
Exactly.
And it's always like that. It's like, that's a thing, that's what trips me out. It's like, there's some people who go out and live in the world who never, like, think about the police. They just see them as a, you know, like, these are just people doing a job, and they see them. It's like, but I think about them when I'm in the world every single day. It's like, if I'm outside and, like, you know, standing on the corner and the police ride by, I'm like, man, what are these motherfuckers about to do? You know what I'm saying? I see them pass by me on the street. I look in my rear view to see if they're going to do a U-turn. Even though I'm not doing shit, I'm just driving. I just feel like just because they looked at me and they could be bored, they'd be like, let me get behind this motherfucker and see if all his shit is straight. You know, like, that's a constant thing. So with just living life, you know what I'm saying, and that thing being on top of you, people don't understand how much, like, I don't know, how much, I can't even think of a word, but it's like, that's like, it's like extra, you know what I mean? Like, and there's some people who don't have to think about that at all. And so that's when it's shown, it's like, people are like, damn, like, this is what you, like, this is every day for you? It's like how it feels.
Yeah.
You know, even if you don't get pulled over.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, it's still, I mean, the fear is still there. I mean, the consciousness of them being around you is still there, being followed, because so much has happened. And, you know, it's like you said, like, you might not be doing anything. You might not have, like, any warrants on you or anything like that.
Right.
But it's just like, just because you're a person of color, it's like, it's open. It can be open season, essentially, and so it's like,
exactly.
You don't know. You know what I mean? It's really a scary, scary place.
Yeah, it's like when I, you know, if I'm on the street, like, like my girl's telling me, like, she was coming from somewhere where a cop was behind her, like a one lane type street where it's like for a long time just one lane, and the cops were behind her the whole time. So she was like, I couldn't enjoy her drive. It's like you just got this tense, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I almost think, like, I was thinking, like, you know what they should do? They should give all black people and people of color free therapy. Like, we should.
Yeah.
That should be a law. Like, you're born and you're like, you have free therapy whenever you want to go. Because, like, we have just natural tension. Like, I could have a problem with my neck probably just and not know it just because of the stress of thinking about that type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it's, you know what I mean? Like you, like when you know, when you get tense about something, like it might even be about, let's say it's not police related. It might be like, you know, being late and you know you wasn't supposed to be late to work and your boss like, hey, next time you're late, your ass is fired. You know what I'm saying? And so you're like driving there all crazy and you have that like feeling in your body, like you're like, it's tense. It's like having that just for seeing a police car is like, oh man. It's like, and I'm like, man, let me get, you know, going out of your way to go where you're going just because you've seen a cop, you're like, oh shit, I'm about to take this street now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's like that. It's like
no way to live.
Because,
I mean, it's horrible, but I mean, that's the reality.
But that's just what it. But see, yeah, that's the final thing of the final point, really, of the movie. It's like I'm shrugging my shoulders, basically, like, this is just how it is. Like, and obviously, you know, time will go by and things will get better and maybe I'll never get pulled over ever again, except for like, you know, a simple thing, like a traffic ticket, and it's just some regular shit and it's not racist. But the feeling is never going to go away. It's just like, that's just what it is. And, you know, hey, and it's fine. You know, like, that's what Black people are basically saying. It's like, hey, this is what it is, and hey, it's fine. It's like, you know, like, the killings and shit is not cool at all. But
no, it isn't. It definitely
is. It's like, we're like, what do we do about it? You know? So from my point of view, I don't really know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is to make a person not be racist, because it's people. It's not really, I don't think it's a whole a police thing to be racist. I think that people are racist and they use certain things to, you know, wield authority over people because that's what they want to do. But so what can I do? You know, all right, well, I could use...
It's a million-dollar question. I mean, what can
exactly.
you do? Because it's like, it seems like schools aren't really teaching the way that they should anymore. And then, I mean, you've got a lot of bad parents out there that just don't raise their kids properly. And if they do raise them, it's like they raise them up to hate people. And so it's
right.
really kind of the million-dollar question. How do you eradicate racism? I mean, I just don't know how.
Honestly, you know, if I'm being truly honest, I don't think racism is going anywhere. It's not something to get rid of. It's more of like functioning together in this world without the discrimination part. You know what I'm saying? People are going to be, you know, racist or, you know, prejudiced, you know, and say shit like, you know, when they're by themselves. It's like, see, these fucking chinks, they can't drive, you know, by themselves. And then they're out in public and they, like, you know, they work with a bunch of Chinese people and they have no problem with them, you know, at all. And they love them. And, you know, their daughter is a, you know, dating a Chinese guy and it's totally fine. But then people just say stuff just because of ignorance. They're just ignorant. It has nothing to do with, you're not racist. Some people are just ignorant. It's just a lack of knowledge of stuff. And some people are just, you know, I remember this one comedian, a female comedian, she was saying, like, her friend, she went to her friend's house, and the girl, she was a white girl. She's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry for my dad. You know, he's racist. You know, like, you know, he said something ignorant about her. And then she's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. You know, he's old and he's going to die anyway. So might as well let him go out how he already believes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's kind of like Drew. Some people are just old and they can't change, you know, like.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate, but
true. Yeah, some people are just set in their ways. And...
Right. The only thing I can do is, like, you know, use use my artistry to, you know, put something in it that makes people, like, think a little bit different. You know, maybe not say, hey, stop being racist. It's just like, hey, you know what? Take a look at this. You know, like, you see this person right here? This person's pretty cool, huh? They're just a regular cool person. Now, look at them in all these situations that they have to deal with. And you start to, like, as you watch the movie, you sort of get, like, you be like, oh, I know this dude. He seems pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like, and then you start to get mad, like, man, why are they fucking with him? This is my boy now. You watching the movie, like, this is my boy.
Right.
And then, like, and then people are, like, fucking with him. They're like, oh, man, come on, man. So then by the time the movie's done, people are like, man, I get it, man. That's fucked up, you know? Because you got a little, you got a serious moment and then a laugh, or then a reverse, a laugh and a serious moment, you know? So you get in all this type of stuff throughout the movie that I really do think people, after they see it, they really do have some kind of different perspective. Like, it makes them say, like, yo, you got to see this. You should check this movie out. They tell another person, like, I think you would enjoy this, or, you know, peep this out. Like I was saying, a 75-year-old man from North Dakota, white man, like, coming up to me, like, hey, man,
that has been a trip.
Right, I was a trip. So I was like, I always reference this guy. Like, I think about this person, like, and he was with his wife, and she was, you know, had a big old cheesy grin on her face. She was happy about it. I was like, okay, wow. I was like, they understood it, because, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, stuff in there that's, like, you know, not really acceptable for some people. Like, you know, I've seen some people leave the movie, you know, like, older people, because, you know, they just weren't patient enough to watch the whole movie, you know?
Right.
They're looking at, you know, sometimes, you know, if you're watching it halfway through, maybe you, like, might not be like, you, like, you know, especially an older black person. You know, there was, like, I've seen some older black people leave before, and I've seen some older black people stay and say, you know, I was getting mad, but then, like, then this happened, and then I was like, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, it's like, it does,
which is also,
I feel like,
because you're like, if you would just, get, you know, give it a thorough, you know, if you would just wait and thoroughly watch it, you know, you'd see, like, hey, this is, you know, this is something.
Right. Yeah, it's like they think, like, you know, like, maybe, you know, because it's like, you know, there's all kind of, it's a certain generation, too, in there. It's like, you know, I'm a, you know, black dude, you know, I say the word nigga, and I smoke weed, and so, like, you know what I mean? Like, some people might, you know, they can't take it, especially, you know, you're an older black person, oh my God, what is this young black man? This is a travesty to how far we've come. And it's like, no, it's like, this is just how it is right now. This is how I live. It's like, I'm woke, nigga. I know what's going on, you know, but I have to present it to you like this, because this is how I live, and this is how a lot of people live that's young, you know what I'm saying? They want to have something that they relate to, too. That's why young people can watch and be like, man, he's not telling me what to do. He's saying, this is what I do, so I can, like, not get shot up. And so maybe that's something you could get from that, you know? Like, that's what I wanted to do. That's why you have the points in the movie where you see me explain, like, man, that's why when the cops come, I do A, B, C, and D, you know?
Yeah.
And I just throw that out there instead of saying, like, you black kids, y'all need to pull up your damn pants. And it's like nobody's listening to that, you know? Like,
no, definitely not.
It's like whenever, you know, older black people come at, like, younger black people in a negative way, like, it's, you know, it's our fault. Like, Charles Barkley's big head ass talk, you know, like, he's talking about,
yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying?
It's
like, it's the way y'all act that it's like, what are you talking about? Like, it's like, you're from a whole other different generation, and you are a rich basketball player. You are...
Exactly.
You don't understand. You out searching for holes, half drunk, driving in your truck. You know what I'm saying? Like, You don't really count. You know what I'm saying?
You've never had to work a crappy minimum wage, you know.
Right, you're not a regular guy, you know, like.
Right.
You know, somebody who works. Yeah, go ahead.
And then, yeah, I'm so sorry to cut you off. I'm just getting impassioned myself listening. But,
yeah.
Like, even if you, because I'm a black man, but I guess I don't act like a typical black guy in that, like, I enunciate
right.
and, like, all this stuff. And so, but it's like, I even find that I've been followed by the cops. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't think there's anything that you can be behavior-wise that would
not
mess with you. You know what I mean?
It's not really that. Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And people
I don't fag or anything, you know what I mean? But it's just like, you know,
it's like you said too. It's like you said, "Oh, I don't do what you know." What is a black person? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
what the fuck are you supposed to do?
It's like, what is it? Yeah.
It's not like a fucking like an amphibian or something. You got like a definition. He was like, "This is what the fuck an amphibian is." You know what I'm saying? Like niggas are everything. You know what I'm saying? Like they're all kinds of everyone speaks. You know what I mean? Like, everybody speaks different. Everybody looks different. We're like a thousand shades. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So it's like, you know, there's always a constant, like, you know, like the complexion fight. You know what I'm saying? You're not black. Like, you know, that whole shit. And then it's like, oh, nigga, you too black. You know, like, or you ain't black enough. It's like, it's like they're all black, man. Whatever, man. Like, you know, it's like they're still all experiencing the same stuff, whether they, you know, have a certain way they grew up or whatever. People don't get it. It's like it's the message overall saying, "Hey, yo, pay attention to like they're treating people differently than you." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they gotta pay attention to that. Like they're treating someone different than you. If that was you and you was getting treated that way, you would be hollering, you know what I'm saying? You know, white people, they be going the fuck off, yelling at the police officer. Yeah, let me see your damn badge number. It's like, whoa. I know a lot of my rights, but when I get pulled over and the cops are there, I ain't thinking about expressing those rights. I'm like, nigga, just let me get out of here. Give me my ticket or, you know, whatever you're going to do, you know, warning and let me go. I'm not about to be like, I'm not rolling down my window. The law 51B6 says I don't have to roll down my window. It's like, I'm not doing all that shit. It's like, yeah, what you want? You know, like, I can say, no, you can't search my car because I don't give you the right. But then he ain't about to let me leave. He about to have some dogs come down there and search my shit. You know, I'm like, yeah, man, go ahead, search my shit. Yeah, it's like, you kind of disrespecting me. I'm like, but, you know, because I'm black, I'm thinking, let me just do this so it don't go any further than this, you know?
Right.
That's what's crazy about you knowing your rights and being like, I'm too worried about what you're going to do to actually, like, try to use those,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, even with that, it's like you're still kind of, even though you may know your rights and you might be a law-abiding citizen, it's like you could just be the victim of, you know, still just police brutality. Because look at the gentleman that was gunned down in front of his wife and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He had the gun. He was a legal gun owner. He had told the police officer, "I've got my handgun in the glove box," and he
went
to go get the registration, and they shot him. You know what I mean? So it's like he knew his rights. He wasn't breaking the law or anything. I mean, it just seems like you would be lying if you said that there wasn't, you know, any type of double standard. You know what I mean?
It's crazy because it was only because he was scared. He probably thought the black dude was going to pull out the gun and start shooting him. Maybe he thought that, you know.
And he has
a stereotype in his mind. He's scared of the race of a black person and what he's heard and what, you know. And
mm-hmm.
it's like I was watching a D-Ray comedy special on Netflix, And he had a good point, which is true. He's like, man, they should let people from the hood police the hood.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, I agree.
It's
I
like,
agree
you know what I'm saying? Because they know everybody. He's like, and if like somebody like some crazy dudes run up on the car like, what's up, police officer? It's like, you know, he's like, hey, man, Reggie, you know, you need to back on up, man. Man, what you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just playing, man. I'm just going to give you my new mixtape. You know, like,
yeah.
And it's true. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, if you're not from that area and you start policing that area, you're more like policing it from fear, you know, like.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, if you're from that area, certain stuff is just not going to bother you. It's like, okay, I know these guys over here are gangsters. You know, okay, I see them out there, they smoke some weed, but that's not really that serious to me. You know, but if you're not from there, you're like, what are you guys doing? You know, you're like putting the pressure on them, and it's like, it may not be necessary. You could actually, like, be solving things that are actual, like, you know, some serious crime, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's what it is. It's like, I mean, I think in order to effectively do your job, like, you have to know the people. Like, when you're a police officer, believe it or not, your job is to enforce the law, but you're also a public servant. But how can you be a servant if you don't understand the people that you're serving? Does that make sense? It's like –
right,
It would be like Martin Luther King – you know, speaking to aristocrats about, you know, how to maintain their money or whatever. You know what I mean? It just doesn't fit. You know what I mean? It's like you have to know who your audience is, who your people are. And
right.
It just makes sense. I think, you know, D-Ray was saying it in a comedic way, but he really was, I mean, he was really speaking truth, you know. And
no, exactly. But see, that's exactly what I'm saying. He could say that. And because it's comedy. He could make you laugh at it. Like, I already know this. So when he says that, I'm like, man, the fact that he worded that in a joke is perfect because that's true. It is like that. You know, somebody who's crazy to somebody else, you know, it's not really crazy to the person who knows them. It's like, oh, no, it's all good. You don't need to shoot this guy. He's just acting crazy. That's what he does, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's just really something, you know? I mean, fear is, you know... And that's what racism is rooted in. It's just rooted in fear and ignorance.
Right.
I think, you know, if people could just, you know, let their guards down and be open-minded to exploring other cultures and learning about people's, you know, other people's way of life. Because you have a lot of people that just, they live in a bubble and they're in that bubble like their whole life. You know, they have the same friends, they go to the same places. You know, they don't venture outside of, you know, what they know. And to me, it's like, I think that's so sad. I mean, I think it's like it's a waste of life, you know, to not.
Right.
You know, more people.
That's true, man.
Lord.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I guess that's one of the benefits of, like, you know, technology right now is that you can see a bunch of different things going on and different type of artists and, you know, showing people, different ways of life and thinking from other perspectives, you know, through art, you know? And it's like, there's so many, like, outlets for people to see that stuff. You know, the fact that a movie like Get Out, the success of it, you know, shows that people are interested in that type of thing. I think probably the people behind it, the main, you know, company behind it, I'm sure they probably were surprised that shit did that well.
Mm-hmm.
They probably thought it was going to do good because of the name involved, but that was a word-of-mouth movie. That was like somebody saw it and was like, damn, I got to tell somebody else to go see this. Like, I saw it like two times, you know? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man, I got to take my pops to see this movie. Like,
yeah, it surprised a lot of people because I remember, I mean, the advertisements for it, you know, initially they, you know, they weren't very overt. I mean, you would just see it and it would be kind of cryptic. It'd be like, I wonder what this movie's about. And I just, like, even going to the movie, I was just going off of, like, the cryptic trailers that I saw for it. And so when I was there watching it, I was like, holy crap, this is probably, like, one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
Right.
Couldn't, you know, it just amazed me how good it was and how poignant it was as well. Because, and the thing is a lot of people say it was comedic because, you know, oh, you know, who's going to lobotomize black men and do all this?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. But if you remember, I think it was in the 20s or 30s, there was this thing called the Tuskegee Project where they, the government infected black men with the syphilis, with syphilis. And they, you know, and so it was like, I know the average moviegoer is like, oh, this is like comedy horror because, you know, nobody's going to kidnap black dudes from inner city and do this or whatever. But it's like, you just, I mean, it's like, it's not really that far-fetched if you know history, you know what I mean? And so it was like, even though there were parts of the movie that were comedic, like in the end, so this is a spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, guys. But
no, I thought.
There's his friend Chris comes and he runs the crazy girl over, the girlfriend or whatever. That to me that was funny. That was like poetic justice.
Right.
She was dipping her Oreos in milk. That was comedic.
There were
a couple other times like where. The dude, he runs across the lawn. That was kind of comedic.
Right. That was scary because it, like, came out of nowhere. But it was funny because it's just like he's just running that fast and then turning the other direction. people really did a good job of, like, putting that in memes. There was a lot of funny memes about him running. Like, people put him on the track running with Usain Bolt. Like, I've seen so many, like, funny ones of that. Like, there was, like, one, like a video, like, when you think a girl's single, but then her man pop up, and then, like, they ran towards him, and then the man popped up, and he just turned to another direction, like.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, there were definitely some funny parts to it, but I mean, overall, I would say that the film, I mean, it had, to me, it had like a serious tone because it was.
No, it was. It was scary. Like, the beginning was really scary. Like, when he was like in the neighborhood, like, he's on the phone talking, and the little, like, creepy car pulls up.
It brought
like,
me
I was mad
scary. It brought me back to Trayvon, and I was just like, whoa. I didn't, you know, because I was like, I don't know, like that opening scene, like you said, I didn't really know what to expect. And then when I you know, started watching, you know. But yeah, it was definitely a very innovative film. I mean.
Right.
And
right.
I can see you definitely collaborating with those guys. That's what we need. I mean, entertainment, especially film and music, it's the last frontier that's just unadulterated. I mean, because if you look at news, I mean, news has been bought, and there's just, you don't really get the real truth when you look at the news or when you read the news. It's opinionated, and it just, various outlets have different messages. But to me, it's like the work that you do and so the work that so many other people do, it's like it's so important because the government and outside influences don't really play a part in it as much as, say, other, you know, avenues like news and stuff like that. I think what you do is so pure because it's like you can address these things and it's like you're not afraid to offend anybody. you're not being shut down by what you're saying, you know? And so
right.
I think that that's awesome. And it's, I mean, it's gotta be, I would imagine that it's probably, it can be kind of stressful at times because, I mean, having all that responsibility on your shoulders, but
right.
I mean, I just commend you because it's there's a whole world of people out there that just need to open their mind.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's just kind of like utilizing the creativity to like make people think different. Is like, okay, that's kind of like the mission. So I could just make some silly ass fucking movie just for no reason, and you know that's cool for some people, but like, you know, for me, I feel way better when people like enjoy the movie that actually has something in it that they could use for life or to start a conversation with somebody they may not know how to talk to about that subject, or you know what I mean. Like, I remember a lady actually brought her son to see the movie. We went to one screening. Where was that at? I want to say it was, like, Annapolis or something like that. And she brought her son. Her son's, like, 13, which is crazy to me because, you know, like, you know, some people ain't like that. I mean, I would, if, you know, bring my kids or something like that. He's like, but... You know, she's black mom, you know, had a 13-year-old son, and it's like, you know, the movie's got profanity and, you know, all kind of, you know, weed smoking in it. It's like, but the fact that she brought him to see that, she thought it was important for him to see, like, this is something she's, like, was telling me he's going to drive in the next 4 or 5 years, you know?
Right.
And I want him to see this, to know that this is going to be a part of your experience and how you going to have to deal with it. And so the fact that a 13-year-old like that, I don't know if I'll see that kid again or not, but he's 13. He's seen that movie. Like, so he has that, like, in his mind. And if a 13-year-old can watch the movie and like the movie, then we did the right thing. Because
yes,
that means this is, like, a flowing generational thing. Like, you could watch it, think you're just watching a movie that's supposed to be only entertaining, and then when it's over, you got these things in your head about, like, how to deal with the police. Because sometimes the best thing to know, I don't know how to stop police from doing what they're doing, but if you know how you should deal with it, then that's a whole different thing. You know, then you're like, oh, okay, you know what? This is how I'm going to deal with this situation because, you know, basically they're going to be racist cops. That's just what it is. Some people, they're just going to hide their racism. Yeah, exactly, because it's people. People are racist. Some people are just racist, and then they just become a cop, and then they use the racism through that job. It's like, so the only way to deal with it is to learn about it and learn how you should deal with it. You know, it's like, okay, if you get pulled over, might be a racist cop. You know, don't get a racist cop. No reason to be able to take it any further. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
To the best of your ability. You know, if a cop don't have to shoot you, he really don't have to go out of his way. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, he's going to really have to make up some shit that's going to look ridiculous. You know, you know, if you're totally, everything is totally cool, and you handle it properly, then, you know, you should be fine. And in some scenarios, it's like, okay, there was, you know, that was a crazy scenario you just can't do nothing about. You know, but that's what I'm trying to do. Like, okay, now a younger, a 13-year-old kid can watch this and be like, man, I was cool. I enjoyed that. And it wasn't a movie, like, preaching to him about, like, how to do it, you know?
That's true. Yeah, I guess, you know, because I know when I started driving, my dad had to talk with me. And I guess, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, I guess it's like, it's almost like a rite of passage now. I mean, that, you know, we have to continue with our sons and daughters. Cause, you know, it's just, like you said, racism, unfortunately, isn't going anywhere. And it's just, yeah, it's really sad, but it's like, you know, maybe having that talk with your child, you know, or your niece or your nephew or whatever will save them, you know, down the road, you know. You just never know.
Like it just made me think, like, imagine if parents just start beating their kids' ass for being racist. I think that's what B would do.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll work. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, Mom, you know, this nigger at school, like, you know, we were playing basketball, and, you know, he shoved me down, and I was like, you dumb nigger, you know, that's why you're a monkey. And it's like, and the mom, like, slaps the shit out of her kids, like, I don't want to hear you talking like that. And then you go, up to the school with your son, and you say, where's the little boy you said that to? You know, and you say, yo, apologize to this kid. You know, this is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? And what's your name? You know what I'm saying? Then you try to meet the parent. Like, yo, my son said something racist to your kid, and I'm not about that. I don't know where the fuck he got that from. And I'm going to beat his ass when we get home, but I just want to let you know that I'm about to beat his ass. And I made him apologize to your son. Imagine if, like, white people was doing that. That would, like, change things because you would grow up traumatized, like, racism is bad. Because every time I was racist, my mom took out the belt and beat my ass, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would solve a lot of stuff, a lot of this stuff. Because, I mean, that's where it's learned, you know, when you're a kid. And so if you can eliminate that, I mean, that's huge.
right.
Man. But, Dominic, man, I enjoyed talking with you. I wanted to ask
you. Oh, man, a pleasure, man.
Yeah, likewise. I wanted to ask you, when will the movie be available next year and on what platforms?
First, it's going to be a theatrical, probably like about February next year.
Okay.
And then probably shortly after that, you know, it'll be on all digital platforms after that. You know, I want it to be on digital platforms for everyone to see, like, as soon as possible, because, like,
yeah,
you know, like we had, like, a little screening of it in 2015, like, a big, like, L.A. thing, and people have been, like, asking me every day since that, you know what I'm saying? So it's like 2.5 years of people walking up to me, hey, Dominique, where can I see that movie again? It's like, I'm like, shit, man. So, like, you know, I mean, when it's on digital platforms and all that, you know, probably I'm thinking, like, you know, either spring or, you know, between spring and summer or something like that.
Okay.
Then
okay.
That's when, you know, I think that's when I will finally get to see, like, what it does, you know.
Absolutely. That'd be awesome. And then can we expect any, I guess, new music in the months to come?
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. It's always, like, always. Because one thing I do every year, I have this Chinese New Year's instrumental series where basically I do the end of The Last Animal and I do all the beats. The beats are all inspired by the energy of that year. So the next one I have coming is The Rooster. I've done so far. I started with the dragon in 2012. So I've done like dragon, snake, horse, ram, and monkey. I just did. And so, you know, I'm a big into Chinese New Year and shit. Like, I go down to the temple in Chinatown when they have the big ceremony and the dragons and firecrackers and all that shit. And so, and also I'm working on another record for Stone's Throw, which hopefully I can have that out next summer, you know?
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I think in the Chinese, I think it's Zodiacs, I think I'm a rat, I think is what mine is.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I'm a rat, too. Yeah, we're rats. Yeah, exactly. As whack as that sounds in slang terms, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, you a rat? No, not a rat. No, I'm not a rat. I'm a, you know, it's the Chinese zodiac, you know.
Yeah.
It's like as gross as like a rat sounds too. It's like,
yeah,
exactly. It's like the qualities of it when you like read about it as a sign. It's like one of the best hunts. It's the first yeah. animal in the cycle, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. That's true, yeah. Ambitious, yet honest, prone to spin freely, and then...
Right, smart.
Yep. And then only having, I think it says only having, like, a few circle of friends. Like, you have many acquaintances, but only a few people that, you know, you would say are, like, your real friends.
Right, right, right.
That's, like, me, like, right on the money.
Right, nah, see, yep. And, you know, as a kid, the coolest one is the dragon and shit. You know, I want to be a fucking dragon. Oh, a rat? That's whack. You know? But, you know, yeah, definitely one of the, like, you know, but also, too, when I, you know, once I found out, it was like, oh, no wonder I like Master Splinter from Ninja Turtles so much, man. Like,
yep.
I was like, I am like a Master Splinter-ass motherfucker, you know? It's kind of like... You know, like, I would think a rat is whack, but, you know, the fact that he was one, he was pretty dope rat. So,
yeah,
so okay, cool. Right.
Did you like him in the new movies? Because they did, like, two new ones.
Man, I've seen the first one of that new, and I was, you know, I'm not into the gigantic fucking bodybuilder Ninja Turtles. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, why are they so big? Like, yeah, it's like totally like some, like, I don't know, like, what the fuck is this? Like, and then what's her name was April? I was like, I can't, yeah, I was like, I can't, no, just like, we can't do this. And then, like, you know,
the dude from Arrow was Casey Jones.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this, man? They literally, you know, like, you know, CGI is the worst. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
the best CGI I saw was, you know, like, T-1000 or some shit, Terminator. But, like, it's like, whenever they do stuff like that, it just, like, it just, it takes you out of it. Like, I love the body suits that those Ninja Turtles, that was cool. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm.
And they made them more like, I feel like you felt more about them when they were like that. Cause they weren't like, you know, some kind of like creature. When they're like super big in the new one, so they're like a creature almost. Like, oh my god, they can't even walk down the street. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But originally, they're supposed to be able to. They used to wear the trench coats and the hats and shit. And like,
yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're kind of like some like human, like some kind of like just some ugly looking, you know, strange humans. You know,
yeah.
They were, and it's like, yeah, it's like I feel like they took that away from them. And, like, took that away from the audience because, like, you felt more. Like, in that first one, when you would see, like Leonardo all depressed, you know, mm-hmm. like, it's like one scene, he's, like, laying in the bathtub or some shit. Like, it's like he's all depressed. I'm like, man, I really feel bad for him right now. You know, like, they took their daddy, their rat daddy, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel bad. Like,
you're so right. Yeah, you summed it up. I guess that's why people don't really relate to films as much as they do, you know, like a lot of the films that you and I grew up on, like
right.
a lot of people can't relate to them now when they're redone because they're just redone so horribly, you know.
Right. It's like the only reason why they did them is just because they're using the popularity of a name.
Right, right.
And then the characters you love, and just like they know off the top when they make it, they're gonna make that money back because people just be bored and they want to go out and do shit.
Oh,
like,
exactly.
Like Star Wars, like you know, like Star Wars, like what a crock of shit. You know what I mean? Like
I know.
You know what I mean? Like
all year for it.
Yeah, it's like they're really just like pulling on the heartstrings of Star Wars fans.
Oh,
just
yeah,
like.
No. Dude, even Mark Hamill himself said that, like, this was, like, his worst – he would say that this is his worst portrayal of Luke. He said that he had noted creative differences with Rian Johnson, the director, and that he just would not have, like – this is not how he figured that Luke should have been portrayed. And so
– right.
I mean, it just –
that doesn't tell you something. I'm just like,
right. And it's like, how you gonna tell Mark Hamill? It's like, bitch, I've been fucking Luke Skywalker before your ass was even born.
Yeah.
It's like,
literally.
How you gonna direct me? I know what the fuck to do. I am fucking Luke Skywalker. I'm more him than Mark Hamill. I'm not even Mark Hamill.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
I don't know, man. I'm just like, it's just, I mean, and that's what drew me to, like, to your film so much, is because it's like, to me, it's like less is more. And then also, I mean, you've got to appreciate good writing. And it's like a lot of other films today, it's like they suffer from really bad writing. They just feel like, oh, if we put a bunch of blood in here, a bunch of gore,
right,
nude scenes, sex scenes, like, you know, this movie will sell. And I mean, it does, but it's just like, after you see it, it's like, it's almost like the film is forgettable. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
Like, I've seen movies this year, and it's like, your movie, Get Out, and I'm trying to think of what else I saw. But yeah, it's like, it's almost like they just become a blur almost. It's like, I don't know. It's like, if the writing's not there, it's hard for you to connect with the characters. And if you can't
connect with
the characters, then it's just like, to me, it's like you're just basically, you're just killing time, essentially. It's like, you're not really.
Right, exactly. That's why I don't really go out to the movies unless, you know, certain shit is coming out. Like, I just be like,
man,
I'll just wait till that shit's on Netflix, you know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
might as well.
Oh, Wonder Woman, that was the other one. Yeah, Wonder Woman, to me, I thought had a good start. I mean, the last half wasn't so good, but overall, I felt like your movie, Get Out and Wonder Woman, were like three of the better movies of the year.
Yeah, no, wow. That's good. I'm glad
no,
it's up there with
like that. I do this, you know, I interview, you know, film people like once a week on this podcast, and it's like I see so many screeners, and then it's like I go out and I go to on my own time, I'll go see, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, or, you know, like this weekend I might see Jumanji. And so it's like I see so many movies, but it's just like, you know, like the It movie, I wanted to like it, and it was enjoyable, but it just wasn't, I don't know. I just felt like they missed, there were like a lot of key elements that they missed, I felt.
Yeah, we just watched the original It when It came out.
It's cheap.
No, it's good. I watched my girls, have you seen the original? She's like, nah. So we just watched the original.
Yeah.
Instead of going to the movies.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the original, I mean, I like the original. That was the one I grew up on. The original,
yeah, exactly.
Was like 92, I think. 92 or 93.
Oh, yeah, that was scary.
Yeah, I remember being so scared that I told my mom and dad to stop taking me to McDonald's because the Ronald McDonald guy looked like the It clown to me.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, because the McDonald's here, they used to, Ronald McDonald guy used to dress up, and he used to flag people down off the street. And so I was like, after that movie, I just didn't want to go anymore. I'd be like, no, take somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I know. Man. But, yeah, Dominic, I really appreciate it, man. I had a great time talking to you. Where can our listeners keep up with what you're doing and follow your experiences?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm on Instagram under KTownOdd, KTOWNODD, and I'm on Instagram as Dominique Purdy. I mean, Twitter as Dominique Purdy.
Okay, cool. Right on. Well, yeah, Dominic, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. I appreciate you. Thanks.
No problem. Guys, that was our special guest, Dominic Purdy. He is a comedian as well as a rapper. You know him as Koreatown Oddity.
We're going to put the link to his Instagram and his Twitter in the body of this post. Make sure to check out his newest film, Driving While Black. It should be out the earlier half of 2018 on all devices and all platforms. If you guys are listening to this on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, listen to us by going to the iTunes store, search for our name, search Redefining the Counterculture. You hear this interview with Dominic. We're also available for Android users. If you've got an Android phone, search for us in the Google Play Music store, search music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview. If you've got a Roku player, you can watch this episode all free of charge. Just go to the Roku channel store, search for our name. Once you search for our name, download the app, and once you begin, once you download the app, you can begin streaming over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews all free of charge.